Open your Bibles, if you would, with me this morning to the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 11, we'll be reading verses 28 through 30 in just a moment. As we began this series several weeks ago about why Jesus, why should someone come to Christ? What difference does it make? That is a question that our world often asks. Why do I need to invest myself into the church? Why do I need to accept Christ? What difference does it make? You see, often they have the struggle of knowing some people who are Christians, and they, in their observation, cannot tell any significant difference between them and their lives and the lives of their Christian friends or family. But you have to understand, and we have to understand, that when we truly live the Christian life, there is a difference. Everything changes. Some of the changes are relatively small. Some of the changes are dramatic and exponential. And here we see a place in the Scripture and in this series where there is a significant change in the Christian and his view. We began by talking about our relationship with God, and that's dramatically different. We talked about the change of our relationship with ourselves. The last time we spoke on this subject, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how the Christian views people within the church family, the view of the church, the view of other Christians. Now today, and this is going to be over 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to look at the Christian view on others. Now this particular passage talks about our view of the needy. And the needy sometimes are within the church and sometimes they're outside the church. But this is how Christians view the needy people. And I will confess, I was sort of with an embarrassment of riches on which passage to pick. I came to 4 or 5 passages to read and study in preparation for this message. I finally settled on this one. I mean, there's the 25th chapter of Matthew that talks about the sheep and goats and how Jesus says, you do this to the least of these, my brothers, you do it unto me. That also gives us a Christian view on the needy. There is the passage in James. The one I read earlier about doing the will of God, but also the passage in James about how if you see someone in need and you see someone who is in want, you first must meet their physical need before you can begin to deal with the spiritual. It talks about that. There's when Jesus fed the 5,000. That lesson about feeding 5,000 is much more than just feeding hungry people. There were those disciples, and Jesus had been ministering to this whole a multitude, this whole crowd of people all day long. And one of his disciples finally came to Jesus and said, Jesus, we need to send these folks home. It's supper time. And they need to go home. Actually, I'm guessing that disciple was hungry and didn't want to eat in front of everybody else. But anyways, it's time for supper and these people don't have food. We got to send them home. You remember what Jesus told him? He said, you feed them. And the disciple said, that was his response. What that meant was, we can't feed them. We don't have enough money. He said, if we had 200 denarii, we could not feed all of these people. And Jesus said, well, sit back and watch. You're going to see what it means to view people like I view people. And he taught the disciples a valuable lesson by feeding 5,000 people with a sack lunch. And there are others. But I settled on this passage because this is a passage where Jesus gives an invitation. And the invitation is to the needy. And he opens his arms and he calls out in a pleading voice and invites people to come and to find relief from their suffering. Because you see, the Christian view of the needy is different than the world view of the needy. We view needy people in a whole variety of ways because Jesus viewed people as needy people. You know why Jesus came? Jesus came to earth. I mean, he was in heaven. You know, he's a pre-existent being. He was in heaven with the Heavenly Father. There was this plan that God had from the beginning of time to bring forth a means of salvation, through Jesus. And then the time came, that first Christmas came, and God sent his Son, and Jesus came and was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Probably not on December 25th, but he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He came and he lived his life. He lived his life, he taught, he did all the things he did. He ultimately went to a cross. 3 days after the cross, the Holy Spirit went into the tomb, raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus is alive today. He did all of that. Why? Because he had a view of needy people. There were people who were in need, and they needed a Savior. Why? Because the law could not save them. They could not adhere to a law that would bring them into relationship with a holy and righteous God. So Jesus came, and he gave himself. He gave his body. He gave his blood. He sacrificed himself on a cross so that we could have a Savior. Jesus views humanity as a people in need, and he comes to meet that need. And so we come and we look at this, and he offers an invitation, and actually this entire passage is an invitation that Jesus offers for people to come to him and to find relief from the suffering. And so we could look at this passage and we could very easily say, if you're tired of it, if you're tired of the difficulty of life, if you're tired of the pressures, if you're tired of the turmoil, if you're tired of the uncertainty, if you're tired of anything in life, come to Jesus. Come to the ones with his arms open. Come to the one who loves you more than you love yourself. And this is how Jesus views humanity. It's how he views people in need. And if we're going to be the church, if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be like our Savior, then we also must adhere and adapt this view of the needy to ourselves. And we must view people in this way. Let's read about this together now. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, this is Jesus speaking. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this is a short passage and it's a familiar passage. But let's take a moment and let's look at that 28th verse, the first verse that I read. And in this verse, we will see how Jesus views humanity and therefore how we should view the needy around us. First of all, he points out here, and this is something we have to understand, is that Jesus simply views people as beings with need. And we have to view people that way. Look there at verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Notice that first word in the phrase after come to me. All you. Now, when you do a study on that word, and you find out what Jesus meant when he said that word, what he meant was all. He meant everyone. All of you who are weary. All of you who are tired. All of you who are tired of the struggle. Those of you who are bereaved. Those of you who have physical need. You're homeless or you're hungry. Those of you who have family struggles. Those of you who are struggling with life. He said, if you are weary of anything, if you are tired, if you are worn out, if you are just sick and tired of being sick and tired, he says, I am speaking to you. And when he uses the word all, he understood that all of humanity is needy. And when we look around this room, we have to understand that there is not a human being in this room who does not have a need. All of us have needs. And then when we take that view beyond this room and look out into the world at large, then that number grows exponentially. There are people outside the walls of this building. There are people who would never come in here. There are people that you come into contact with every week of your lives, and they are people of need, and they have great needs, and their needs are real. Now, when we think of needy people, when I say that word, that term, a needy person, what pops into your mind? I submit to you, I am a mind reader here, you think of a homeless person. That's the image that pops up. A homeless person, and whatever image that is to you, that comes to our mind. And that's what we think of as needy people. And homeless people are needy. They need a home. Hungry people need food. Thirsty people need something to drink. Depressed people need encouragement. People who are struggling with bereavement need comfort to be around them. People who have physical illness. They need healing. All kinds of needs are around us. And we look around and we must view people in this way. Now, this is not unique to the church. Everybody views need, but we view it in a different perspective. The other thing that we have to understand is that we live in a needy world and we are needy people. That is the first thing that we have to understand, that we are people of need individually. I am a person of need. You are a person of need. We are people of need. Again, we're conjugating here. This is the way it works. However, as Christians, we must understand that truth, that when we meet people, whether we know them well or whether they're strangers, we are meeting people with need. Jesus' invitation was to everyone, all of you who are weary, all of you who have a need, all of you who are bereaved, all of you who are hungry, all of you who are homeless, all of you who struggle with the internal struggles of life and have those tigers that well up within you and the struggles of life. If you're just tired of that, he said, I'm talking to you. There is no human being who has ever lived that Jesus was not speaking to when he says, all of you who are weary. He's talking to us, and we have to understand that. That has to be a part of our worldview. That has to be a part of how we see people. He doesn't say, all of you who did not do this to yourself. He didn't say, all of you who aren't, you know, not smart for getting where you are. All of you who have these kind of problems. No, he says all. He doesn't care where it came from. He knows where it came from. It came from our sin. It came from our separation. It comes from our rebellion. But he says, I want you. I am talking to you. And we have to understand that the message of Jesus and the cure and the responsibility that we bear as his children, it is absolutely universal. Begins at this place and it goes out to the ends of the earth. That is our responsibility. All means all. Understand that. Now also we see here that Jesus calls the needy to himself. Understand this. This is an important thing for us to perceive. He says there again in verse 28, he's identifying all. He says, come to me. Now that sounds like a simple phrase, and we read through it and we go, yeah, that's the kind of thing Jesus would say. But we have to understand that Jesus is the answer. I don't care what your trouble is. I don't care what your need is. It does not make any difference what that may be. Jesus is the answer. Well, that's what you'd expect a Christian preacher to say. It's not me saying it. This is Jesus that said this. I am quoting him. This is not from the great brilliant insight of Pastor Quinn. This is what Jesus says. Understand, Jesus invites the weary and the hurting to himself. And we have to understand that. You see, and this is the difference. This is the difference. The point of this message is this is a difference in how we, as opposed to the rest of the world, views the needs of man. When the rest of the world views the needs of man, they can be moved by compassion. They can see a homeless person and they will be moved to spend their money and their treasure, maybe even some time and energy to help relieve that, and they will find a place to house the homeless, and that's a good thing. When they see someone is hungry, they will contribute to a food bank and give that. If they see someone who doesn't have clothing, they may go to their closet and take some clothes they don't wear anymore and pass that on to someone who can. There are all kinds of ways the world does this, but generally speaking, when the world sees a need, they may be motivated to meet that need by their compassion, but it's always at an arm's length. Jesus says, come to me. And one thing you have to understand, that needy people are messy. They just are. Whatever your need is, you're messy in that need. Whatever my needs are, I am messy in those needs. Whatever the needs of humanity is, the people are, the individuals are, those needs are a mess. And generally speaking, we as people, we want to be helpful, but we don't want to touch the mess. Well, we will say, we will find a place to warehouse the homeless. We will find a soup kitchen to feed the hungry. We will find a shelter to take care of those who are hurting. We will find a counselor to encourage the ones who are struggling emotionally. We'll call the preacher to take care of the bereaved. We'll find someone else. We will hire someone. We will invest something, but we aren't going to touch the needy. Jesus says, come to me. Now, I'm older than many of you, but I'm not old enough to have seen Jesus do this. Newsflash. But I am confident that when Jesus says, come to me, he opened his arms. And he was putting his arms out to whoever he was speaking to, whether he was speaking to a multitude that needed ministry, whether he was speaking to these 12 knotheads we call disciples that had needs, whether he was talking to the Pharisees in the temple. But he put his arms open. He says, come to me. I will share and receive your messy life. If you are hurting, I will take care of you. If you are suffering, I will invest in you. But Jesus was willing to encounter the lowest of the lows and the highest of the highs. There was not a part of culture, the culture he lived in, that he stayed away from. He dealt with the Pharisees, who were the elite of the religious group, and he dealt with the publicans, who were the lowest spiritual denominator in their culture. He touched the dirty, he touched the clean, he touched the lepers, he touched the healthy. He loved people, and he opened his arms, and he says, if you have a need, you come to me. Now, in this world, in this time, the church are the arms of Jesus. It is incumbent upon us, if we are going to view the world as Jesus viewed the world, and we are going to see the needy as Jesus sees the needy, it is incumbent upon us for us to open our arms. And the challenge for us is, when we open our arms, sometimes messy people come and hug us. Sometimes we have to deal with them in their difficulty. And they may not look like us, they may not talk like us, they may not behave like us, they may not smell like us, but that's part of dealing with the needy. We have to open our arms. We are the arms of Jesus. Jesus opened his arms and he said, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you have been. All of you, if you are tired of being tired, if you are tired of the struggle, if you are tired of your need, you come to me. You come to me. And Jesus is the only thing that we as the church, we as the Christians have, that the world does not have. The world can do a better job at housing the homeless than we can. They have more resources to feed the hungry than we have resources to feed them. Now, they may not have the motivations to do those things that we have, but they have the resources. They have the resources to meet all of these physical needs. But what they do not have, they do not have Jesus. And you can warehouse the homeless, and you can feed the hungry, and you can encourage the discouraged, and you can do all of those things. But unless you invest Jesus into their lives, and unless they invite Jesus into their lives, their needs will never fully be met. Jesus is the answer. Oh, Pastor, that's way too simplistic. Life is much more complicated than just accepting Jesus and everything comes up roses. Life isn't like that. Well, I tell you, there's nothing simplistic about Jesus. There is nothing simplistic about the Christian life. Jesus says, you follow me, and I'm going to take you down a narrow road. You follow me, and I'm going to take you down a difficult path. You follow me, and they will persecute you for my sake. If you want to live the strained life, if you want to live the life that is challenging, you want to live a life that is different, he says, you come to me. And that's what we're inviting people to. We're not inviting people to some, bed of roses where there's never any problems. Christians have the same problems everybody else has. The difference is we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and we have a relationship with the God of the universe that was purchased for us with nothing less than the blood of his Son. And we have the faith and the trust that he is going to see us through our days of difficulty. There is not an adult in this room that has not walked through days of difficulty. And if you have Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have never walked that road alone. Doesn't mean it was easy, But it doesn't mean he was alone. And that is what we have that no one else has. We have the uniqueness of Jesus. The world cannot open his arms and say, come to me, because there's really nothing to get to in the arms of the world. Just more of the same, more of the same, more of the same. But when Jesus opens his arms, and we are the arms of Jesus, and we open our arms, then we invite people to come to that which is unique, and especially, and what will they find? They will find rest. They will find rest. And I find this part of the sermon very difficult, because this is where everybody goes to sleep. Talk about rest. Yeah, I'll do that. But I'm not going to talk about this long, so you're not going to get a long nap. Okay, verse 28. Come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Hear what Jesus says? Jesus is the source of rest. I will give you rest. He offers himself to meet our needs. Whatever your need is here today, Jesus is saying to you personally, I will meet your need. I will walk with you through your time of trial. I may not answer it. I may not give you what you think you want, but I promise you, I'm going to give you abundance. That is what his disciples struggled to learn. They learned it, but they struggled to learn it. That is what so many people struggle with, the idea of Christianity, is what it means to have Jesus walking with us, to have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, and how he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. And it doesn't matter how good life is, it doesn't matter how bad life is abundant, and abundance is found in Jesus alone, and there is nothing else like it. Nothing else, nowhere, is the abundance that Jesus offers had. And so Jesus says, come to me, I will give you rest. Now again, when I was a little guy, like the children we had up earlier in the children's sermon, and my mother suggested that I take a nap, I wasn't real hot on the idea because I was afraid I might miss something. I don't know if you parents had that same struggle my mom had or not. We did with our kids. But now at my age, if someone says, why don't you take a nap? I'm all over it. I don't care what time it is. I don't care what's going on. I'm ready for a nap. But we have to understand what he is saying here. I will give you relief. You'll find rest in your soul. And he was speaking to a group of people, to a time and to a culture when most of the people did not have rest. If he was speaking to the multitude at this time, probably most of those people were there that day and they did not know where their evening meal or the food the next day for their family was going to come from. They were going to have to spend their time finding that. There was no time for rest. But Jesus says, if you're weary, if you have struggles, I will give you rest. I will give you relief. Now, as the arms of Jesus, we have a responsibility to relieve the suffering. And you have to relieve the physical before you can relieve the spiritual. That is the New Testament picture. That is what is drawn for us. But if we ever forget what the source of the relief truly is, where the rest comes from, then we will never fulfill the need of the needy. They will remain needy. Oh, they may have a place to live. They may have food to eat. But their needs will remain unless we invest Jesus into them, because that's the place of rest. If you found peace in your life, peace that passes all understanding, you found it in Jesus and in Christ alone. And Jesus was inviting people that day. And for 2,000 years, Jesus has been inviting people, come to me. If you struggle, if you're laboring, if life is hard, come to me. I will give you rest. And he still gives rest today. Now, the invitation, first of all, is for those of us who haven't found the rest in Christ. If you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never made that profession of faith in him, if you've never exercised your will and received him as your Lord and Savior, then you will never understand, you can never understand what it means to find full and complete and total rest in Jesus, because that is something outside your reach. But Jesus is inviting you today to come to him, and you need to do that. But if you have come to Jesus, if you do know him as your Savior, maybe we haven't claimed and received the full rest and relief that God offers for us personally, but also the invitation is for us to view the rest of humanity, to view the needy from the perspective of our Savior. That is what we as the church are called upon to do. We are to view the needy of our community and the community at large. We are to view them through the eyes of our Lord and offer the same invitation, open the same arms, to give the same relief. If we love them, that's what we will do, as Jesus has loved us.
Oh, there.